Father in heaven, as we have read this portion of your word, I pray that your spirit would give us wisdom and understanding, illumine our hearts. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Way back on December 21st, 2008, Jennifer and I, along with several other church members, played hooky from church that day to drive to Boston to attend an NFL football game between the New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals. We decided to leave the night before and spend the night at a hotel because we were going to get up Sunday morning and probably think about you all, but that was as close as we were going to get. And then our plan was to go to the store, get some food, and get some beer, and go to the game early and tailgate before we went in because none of us wanted to spend $16 for a plastic cup of beer. And so anyway, the plan was great. We got up, we went to the store, we got the food, got the beer, and I was going through the checkout counter at the store to where this lovely woman said to me, I can't sell you that beer. And I said, Why not? And I immediately assumed that she was thinking that maybe I wasn't quite 21. My head got a little big, and I thought I hadn't been carded in a long time, but I'll take that. And the inconvenience of pulling out my wallet, I was about to show her my ID, and she said, no, it's not your age. That deflated me a little bit. And she said, in Massachusetts, you can't buy beer on Sundays until noon, and it was only 10:30 in the morning. And I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I said, seriously? And she said, yeah. And I thought, well, this doesn't seem reasonable, so I'll try to talk with her about it. And I said, well, look, how about this? I'll make you a deal. You sell me the beer now, and I promise we won't drink it until afternoon. And she shook her head and said, in a deep Bostonian accent, she said, honey, you're not from around here, are you? And I said, no, I'm from Vermont, where you can buy beer on Sundays anywhere. And to be honest with you, I wasn't particularly happy about that. But that was it. And what I realized in that moment was this was the first time in a long time that I had encountered what is known as a blue law. Do you all remember blue laws? Some of you might. Back in the day, blue laws, and actually still in some places today, laws are in effect to prohibit certain activities on certain days of the week. Usually Sunday, where maybe you can't buy alcohol, or maybe stores aren't open, or different things like that. It's sort of from the old times of Sunday is really being equated with the Sabbath day, and so no activity on that day. Even today, in the state of Arkansas, 39 out of 76 counties are dry. That means you can't buy any alcohol there any day of the week. You have to go to another county to buy alcohol. Isn't that interesting in today's day and age that still dry counties? Also, in the state of Pennsylvania, you may be interested to know that it's illegal to hunt on Sundays. When I first moved to Vermont and started hunting, I was shocked that everybody was skipping church to go deer hunting. I said, what? What's wrong with the state of Vermont? You can't do that in Pennsylvania. Now, the first day of buck season is on a Monday in Pennsylvania, and it's a state holiday. No one goes to school that day, but you can't hunt on Sundays unless it's foxes or coyotes, but deer, turkey, not still to this day. Also in Pennsylvania, you may be interested to know that car dealerships are forbidden to be open on Sundays. So you need a new car, good luck. You got to wait until Monday to go get one. In the state of Maine, it's one of three states to this day that prohibits all stores to be open on Christmas, New Year's, and Thanksgiving Day. So they never bought into that Black Friday creeping into Thanksgiving. No. And so here's my question for you is, do you think blue laws are good or bad? Are blue laws good for society in restricting economic activity and exploitation? Sort of having a more moderate and peaceful way of life? Or do these laws get in the way of us doing what we want to do on Sundays? Do they prohibit progress? We all probably have our own opinions on certain blue laws, and that's fair enough. But what I find interesting is when we come to Matthew chapter 12, we notice that there was a lot of controversy in Jesus' day about what was allowed and not allowed on the Sabbath. You notice in this first story that Matthew tells us that Jesus and his disciples happened to be walking through some grain fields. The disciples, Jesus, they were hungry. They lived a nomadic life. They didn't really have a house of their own. And so they saw some kernels or some wheat out in the field. Actually, can you all take a look at the painting on your bulletin cover? This beautiful painting of Jesus and his disciples walking through a wheat field. It may have been like this, maybe a little bit different, but can you imagine them walking through? The disciples are hungry. And so they pull some stalks of grain, and then they begin to rub them in their hands so the chaff would break free and they would have the kernels to pop in and feed their hungry bellies. Now that was all fine, except for the fact that when they were doing this, it happened to be on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, those religious leaders who were already beginning to conspire against Jesus, notice this and they start to take Jesus to task. Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful for them to do on the Sabbath. Now, you may be wondering, why did Jesus and his disciples take grain from someone else's field? Wasn't that stealing? That doesn't seem like something Jesus ought to be doing. But you may remember that there was an Old Testament law in the book of Leviticus that established that all farmers had to leave some stalks of grain in the field. They weren't allowed to harvest 100% of their own grain. That was against the law. And the reason for that was to provide some food for sojourners, for the poor, for the homeless. And so isn't that interesting that Jesus and his disciples were actually recipients and participants in the welfare system of that day and age? Now that's another sermon for another day. I'm not going to get into it, but that may push back on some of our political views. Just think about that for a minute. But here they are, they're hungry, and so they pull it off, they're eating. It was left for them, that was perfectly fine. But the Pharisees say, tisk, 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 not on the Sabbath. That's breaking the law because that's considered work. Now, the Old Testament law, we all remember the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment was, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. But what did that really mean? What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, the Pharisees, this group of religious leaders, put a whole bunch of laws around that original law to prevent people from breaking that law. But Jesus comes along and reinterprets what their view of work is. And he goes on in verse 3. This is great. This is classic Jesus in action. He said to them, have you not read? The Pharisees were experts in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is actually being a little sarcastic, a little tongue-in-cheek by saying, haven't you read? Of course they had read, but now Jesus is using their own scriptures against them by pointing out that David, when he was running for his life from King Saul, he and his men were starving. They were hungry. And they came into the temple and ate the bread of the presence that was specifically baked and reserved for the priests to eat. No one else was allowed to touch that bread, but there was David and his men hungry, and they ate it anyway, and they were not condemned for it. And so Jesus points out that this isn't the first time that the law has, quote unquote, been broken in response to a deep human need. Jesus goes on to point out that in verse 5, "Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless?" And we still see this today. So the priests worked on Saturday, on the Sabbath day. Just like me, Pastor Vaughn and I work every single Sunday. Now, you're not working today. You get the pleasure and joy of coming to hear us preach. That's not work at all. That's easy and fun and great, and you all love it. You go home joyful and relaxed, and we go home exhausted after working and preaching to an unresponsive crowd all morning. It's not easy. And so you can only imagine how exhausting this is. And tomorrow I'll take my day off for the week. That'll be my Sabbath day. And so Jesus is really getting at the point here that what was the intent of the law in the first place? You remember last Sunday's sermon, we left off with Jesus' famous phrase, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that was in direct contrast to the Pharisees, who made religion all about rules and regulations. And if you want to be a good little Christian, a good little boy and girl, just follow all the rules, do what you're supposed to, and everything will be great. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of Christians still do to this day. They make Christianity, their faith, really about following a set of rules and regulations. But that was never Jesus' intent. In fact, here he breaks not God's law, but the Pharisees' interpretation of God's law by just eating on the Sabbath. And so Jesus takes what I would call a very common sense approach to the law. He wasn't being legalistic. He wasn't so focused on following the letter of the law. Now, for some of you who've been around for a little while, one of my favorite law officers of all time was on the 1980s show Dukes of Hazzard, good old Roscoe P. Coltrane, who was always more than eager to enforce the letter of the law any chance he had, just like the Pharisees did in their day. Always looking and nitpicking and trying to catch someone up on it. But Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light. "Come to me, all who are weary, and find rest." And so Jesus comes down and reinterprets this law. And then he says at the end, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Jesus is the one we should worship, not the law. Jesus is the one that we should follow. He's the one. And so Jesus corrects this. And let me just say here that Jesus is not saying that we should just negate all of God's law, that that's not important anymore, and we can just live and do whatever we want and however we please. Not at all. But what he is saying is that sometimes when human need appears, it happens at inconvenient times, and it may be on the Sabbath day, or there may be interruptions to things. And so rather than being nitpicky and judgmental with each other, which is what the Pharisees were doing, let's live out God's law with joy. The Sabbath was originally intended by God as a day of rest for us to prevent us from becoming workaholics. Now, over the years, I've talked to a lot of people, especially right here in Franklin County, and I've heard rhetoric like this: "Oh, I haven't had a day off in 6 months." And they kind of beat their chest and puff it up and like, "Look, you know, I'm a hard worker. I got a good work ethic." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But you've broken every one of God's Sabbath laws in doing that. And by the way, you've probably made your wife miserable and your kids aren't happy because you're always working." I've talked to people around here who says, "I haven't taken a vacation in 20 years. I say, "Wow, I bet Jesus is so proud of you." Wow, isn't that great? Never taking time to break away from work, always focused on making money, being proud and arrogant, rather than taking a more moderate approach to life where Sabbath is practiced, where we take time off, where we rest, where we relax. Maybe once every few years we miss church on a Sunday to go drink a beer at an NFL football game, perhaps. I don't know. And again, before any of you start to say, hey, Pastor Jason did that, I guess I can do it, just know this, that I was in church 49 out of 52 Sundays that year. So I don't want to hear any excuses. I know some of you are already thinking about what you're going to say on the way out, so just don't even go there. You know who you are. Anyway, Matthew goes on in this next section to reiterate this point by telling a little story that Jesus and his disciples went into the synagogue and they encountered a man there with a withered hand. Now, notice this. Actually, look at the text if you still have it. The Pharisees knew Jesus' practice of going into the synagogue and worship every Sabbath day. So there's our justification for coming to church on Sunday. But he says a man with a withered hand was there. And they said to him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So that they might accuse him. That little line there is a clue for us to know that this just wasn't coincidental. Those Pharisees made sure to find this man who had a withered hand to make sure that he was at the synagogue the same time Jesus was there, because this whole thing was a setup. It was a trap to incriminate Jesus. And so they ask, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But once again, we see Jesus outfox them by asking a question and using an image. I love this when he says, which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Everyone had sheep in those days, and Jesus poses the question, if your sheep falls into a pit, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, sorry, lamb chop, I hope you make it through the night, can't help you out today, tomorrow's not the Sabbath, we'll come back and rescue you? I don't think so. You would show mercy. You would do the right thing, even if it was on the Sabbath, to save the life of an animal. And then Jesus says, if we would do that for a sheep, why wouldn't we do that for a human being who's so much more valuable to God? And so then Jesus tells the man to hold out his hand, and he healed it right on the spot. Now, most of you don't know this, but on my way in this morning, I actually have a withered hand today. I got bit by a dog yesterday, had to go get 3 stitches at the hospital last night. And so I was thinking, how ironic is it that the first time I've ever preached this text about a man with a withered hand is the day that I have a withered hand myself. Now, I started looking around here thinking, I wonder if there might be someone who could heal my hand here at church today. I thought about Katie. She works at a hospital after all. And I came up to her and said, Katie, do you think you could help me out? And she said, nope, it's Sunday. I'm not working today. Not going to do that. And I thought, are you kidding me? I mean, this is the kind of service we get around here. I tried to point out to her, according to Jesus' interpretation of the Old Testament law in Matthew 12, that she should have mercy on me, but that wasn't compelling enough. So I guess I'll just have to live with my stitches throughout the day. But that's really the point that Jesus is making here, is that the Sabbath law, or really any of the laws that we find in the Old Testament, are not excluding doing good things. It's not nitpicky. It's not whiny. It's not about following the letter of the law to a T. Jesus, actually, in the preceding passage, quotes Hosea 6:6, where he says, God says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That's what the law was really intended for, to be merciful to others. When we obey the speed limit when we drive down the road, we're doing that to be merciful and safe with other people. Now, again, if your wife is pregnant and the water has broken and you go 57 in a 55 zone, oh no, we broke the law. I guess it's all done now, right? God's going to strike us dead. That's not the intention. The law is there. It's there for a good purpose. But Jesus never meant us to follow that in some legalistic way. That's what the Pharisees were doing. In fact, the Pharisees put so many laws and rules and regulations up that that's really what their faith was, that they could sort of earn their way to heaven by obeying the law. If you're good enough, if you're obedient enough, then you'll get there. And Jesus comes along and says, no, 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 that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel I preach. Jesus himself is the only one who can keep that law perfect. All of us are lawbreakers. And yet he extends mercy upon us. Isn't that what we should do for others too? Really, that's the kind of church that we ought to be. In fact, I remember a few months ago talking to one of my pastoral colleagues right after they had a really tough annual meeting. He asked me, he said, how long is your annual meeting? And I said, we usually wrap things up in about 30 minutes. And he said, are you serious? Their annual meeting went 2.5 hours. The whole congregation got into a bitter argument when people were screaming and shouting at each other over whether or not to buy a new piano. I mean, that wasn't even a biblical issue. It was a practical one about whether to spend a few thousand dollars over a piano. And the congregation got so nitpicky with each other that it descended into utter chaos. Now, our annual meetings aren't perfect, but we've never had that happen here. And so we never want to be the type of church that's Pharisaical, that's legalistic. Remember, Jesus just a few months ago in Matthew said, it's hard to see the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when you got a log jammed in your own eye. And so based on what Jesus says here about the law, can I just encourage us, in view of God's great mercy to all of us, to be merciful to one another, to be compassionate? Sure, there's going to be offenses and things that we do and say to each other along the way, but can we be quick to forgive those, to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? And not just with our church members, but those people who we work with on Monday, and go to school with on Tuesday, and our neighbors with on Wednesday, and the week goes on and on. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Let's worship him as such. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for these stories that Matthew has set together about Jesus being Lord of the Sabbath. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to certainly be obedient to your word. But Lord, help us to make sure that we're putting human needs above legalistic tendencies. Help us to make sure that we're extending mercy and grace and peace to others, just as you have done for us. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.